Happy New Year.
Welcome to the first House State Affairs meeting of year 2012. It's good to be back, I think, depending on how our committee meetings and the second session goes. I'd like to welcome everybody back. I'd like our crew over here keeps us in order, tells us where we need to be. And I'd like to recognize our committee who's here. Representative Peterson, welcome. Representative Seaton, Representative Max Grunberg, Representative Kyle Johansson, Representative Peggy Wilson, and Vice Chair Representative Teller. So it's good to have you guys back. Today we are going to hear two bills. If possible, I'd like to pass both bills out of the committee. The first bill we're going to hear is HB 182. It's electronic distribution of agency reports. Second bill we intend to hear is HB 216, regulations informative summary of the bills. And so the first bill, HB 182, please turn to that. I'll get to it myself here. Where are we? Good. Okay, the first bill, HB 182, again, an act relating to distribution of annual reports by state agencies, and that's sponsored by Representative Johansson and co-sponsored by Representative Curtula and Hawker. And so, Representative Johansson, if you'd like, it's been a while, okay? So if you kind of give us a quick review of the bill and where we were when we left off, then I understand you may have some amendments. But let's do the review first so we know where we are.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we begin, I want to make sure that we have the version in front of us. It's version M, I believe.
Is that version M? I have it. Everybody here? Version M?
Let me see.
Okay. And
Mr. Chair, should we toss version B?
Yes. You don't look at it.
Version M is in front of us.
Okay.
It's the only version that's relevant. Yeah.
There goes a dozen trees.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Trees do grow back, by the way, just as an aside.
What's that?
Trees are a renewable resource. They grow back, so
yeah, they grow
got
back.
all the trees we want.
They used to have that in Ketchikan.
They used to. That's correct. Bill Clinton came along. Okay, and just for clarification, this bill is, I'm the prime sponsor, and co-sponsors include Representative Curtula, Representative Hawker, who graciously embraced this bill and offered staff support to create it. Representative Wilson to my left and also Representative Peterson has signed on as a co-sponsor. So I appreciate we have three co-sponsors here at the table. Just as a brief bit of history to the bill, the genesis of this, Mr. Chairman, came when I sat on the Commerce and Economic Development Finance Subcommittee, and there was an increment request from the department for $250,000. And I asked the simple question, what is this for? Because the description said printing. And the answer came back, well, Representative, we're asking for this because you require us through state law to print this stuff. We don't want to do it, but you make us do it through statute. So this is your fault, basically. And I said, well, have you introduced legislation to change that? You obviously don't want to do it, but you're asking for the increment. Well, no, of course we haven't done that. So I introduced the bill. And looking through all of the different reports, and at that point I started looking, we all get annual reports constantly in the mail, constantly. And law requires that somewhere in that report, usually on the front or the back cover, it has the statute related to why this is being printed and the cost of each copy. And they range from pretty cheap, under a dollar, to $25, $30, $50. There's a large range of cost for these reports, and we get them every day in the mail. And when we did research, Reed Harris, my staff, did research on this. He found that some of the statutes went back to the 60s, when obviously we weren't thinking about internet access or email or websites or anything like that. So it seemed like we should go in and update the statutes. We contacted Legislative Legal, and they came back and they said, you have no idea how many references in all of the statute books there are to printed distribution. They are hundreds, apparently. And rather than go and go through every single statute and go through and find every single reference, they suggested that we have a blanket exemption that allowed the electronic distribution or posting on a website would cover that. It would allow the departments to basically get out from under the requirement to print. And we've done some preliminary financial analysis, of course, which the Finance Committee will go over in detail. But we found anywhere from, I think it was $1.5 to $2 million just in printing these annual reports. And so over the summer, we looked at this even more. And one of the amendments that I'm proposing to offer later on in the committee is to strike the word annual out of the bill. So it gives them the ability to post not just the annual reports, which are required by law, but other reports that may be required by law that are buried somewhere in the statute book somewhere. And basically the commissioner of each department would be the person that you would have to go to if you were a division director and you wanted to send out $25,000 worth of reports. You would have to go and basically get the okay from the commissioner. So somebody's held accountable. Each commissioner would be in charge of obviously their own department. And it would be a place we could, if we started getting all of these reports from DEC, we could go to the commissioner of DEC and say, hey, what's the story? Why are you approving all of these? And they'd have to have a good story, or maybe we wouldn't appropriate the money in the budget to print all this stuff. So really just an effort to bring us into the 21st century and yet give the departments the flexibility to print when necessary. And also the law does require that four copies of everything, basically, be sent to the state library. So the state library always gets printed copies of all of these things for access to the public and also for just historical purposes. And people can request either an electronic copy, or if they go, they can make a request to the central library and say, hey, you know, I really want a public a printed copy. If I don't want to download it on the internet, or Representative Seaton brought up color copies about copying off color printers and such, you can request that, and you can get a copy made for you. But for us to send out 500 copies, I think it's just something that we need to get past in this day and age. So that's a longer than I thought explanation, but that's where I came from.
You may have mentioned, what do you estimate potential savings might be?
Well, there is a we've estimated, I think Reed and I went together and came up with a number around $1.5 to $2 million. There is a fiscal note that was just sent out, which I thought was a little bit low, but with this change by cutting the word annual, I'd like this committee to buy off on the concept of that and send it to finance and have them dig into exactly what the number is. So I don't have an answer to that question right now, Mr.
Chairman. Right. The next committee referral should be passed as out. The committee today is the finance committee.
That's correct. And I will ask, and obviously that's what they do, is they look at the numbers, and we'll get some real hard numbers before it would get to the rules committee for consideration on the floor. So I think that's their jurisdiction, and I would hope this committee signs
it. Very good. Before we get to amendments, any questions from the committee? Representative Kyle has said, yes, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. You know, I like the concept of the bill. I wanted to clarify that you had said that if a director of a division wanted to do it, he would have to go to the commissioner and requested there would be accountability, which I support. However, as I read on page 1, line 11, it says an agency may not produce print copies unless requested, and that seems to be a request for individual requesting a printed copy. So my concern was for something that we all need very very often. That's a revenue source book, comes up twice a year. It's not an annual report, but now with talking about a proposed amendment, that would mean that the revenue source book would fall in this as well. And do you see that there is flexibility for a commissioner or the department with under the way we have this written to actually do it, or does line 11 actually prohibit them from distributing those unless they get a request from an individual for a printed copy?
The intent, and obviously,
identify yourself, please.
Thank you, Representative Johansson, the intent is to allow that flexibility. Now, maybe this isn't written correctly, I don't know, but I don't want to prohibit the commissioner from saying, you know, this is important enough that I can go in front of the subcommittee in the operating budget and say this needs to be done and defend it. What I don't want is to have the departments come in front of the committee and say, I need $100,000 because you're making me print this. So it doesn't mean to prohibit it, but it means that someone's going to have to sit in front of a finance subcommittee and justify that expense rather than saying, you're making us print it. So there's no intent to prohibit that. And if it needs to be tweaked to the language, I'm more than open to define that further for your comfort level.
Representative Seaton?
And, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that because I totally agree with where we are. And there are certain reports, you know, whether we're building a gas line and we need that report because something that's available on the Internet is not the same as us being aware when we've told them we want to be, you know, constantly updated on something. If that, but as I read line 11, I think I would just offer that we might need to tweak that, and I would appreciate your flexibility in that. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, just very quickly, I would also argue that if you're going to take a document off your computer and send it to a printer and print it to have a hard copy in front of you, it's in a file that can be just as easily emailed. I understand. I'm open to tweaking it for the comfort level of Representative Seaton, but personally I don't think it's an issue, but I'm not going to cause a problem over it.
Are there any further questions? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to add one additional potential savings, and that is a lot of these are mailed out. So there would be a significant reduction in the cost of postage as well. And people would be probably packing these up and dragging them to the post office. So there actually could be additional savings just besides the printing costs.
Good point. Also, the having to process it at the mail department.
You bet.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton. Excuse me, Representative Johansson.
Thank you. Just briefly, you reminded me of something. Since I introduced this bill, you know, I have a stack, literally. Reed and I have been keeping them. We've got stacks and stacks of all of these, and you all do too. But these are the ones that have the disclaimer and the amount and everything. And it just piles up and piles up. But as an anecdote, this summer I received a report from a department. And on the outside, it had postage. It was in a manila envelope with $5 postage on it. I opened it up, pulled it out, and the report had a bulk mail sticker on it. They took a report with a bulk mail permit printed on it, put it in an envelope, and spent $5 and sent it to me. And you all got one, too. But you didn't notice, probably, because this is my bill. But those are the kind of things, and it adds up to, you know, $200,000-$400,000 or $1 million or $2 million out of an $11 billion budget. But I can tell you, you all have individual programs and amendments I've seen over the years, and whatever is dear to your heart, you can surely use another $100,000, I can imagine, for whatever is on your mind.
That's pretty soon we're talking about real money.
Right.
Okay. Anything else? Would you any amendments you'd like to propose at this point?
If
we have a copy over here.
Yes, starting, Nancy handed out a sheet that has four amendments on it, the version M. And, Mr. Chairman, the first amendment was actually offered by the Department of Law, and I believe we have Alan Birnbaum online, and I'm wondering if Alan could go through the amendment and talk about this. Came from them. They sent it to our office and asked if we would consider it. And if we could have the Assistant Attorney General explain this.
Okay. But first, move the amendment.
I'll move amendment number one.
And I will object for discussion.
Object for discussion. Mr. Birnbaum, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Please introduce yourself and offer us your good testimony.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Alan Birnbaum. I'm an Assistant Attorney General. I represent the Alaska Department of Law. Because the Department of Law hasn't had the opportunity to consider the bill as covering all reports, my comments this morning are limited to the bill is drafted to only cover the annual report. I don't know that my comments would be different, though. Again, I just haven't had a chance to consider the change and discuss it with others within the Department of Law. By electronically distributing annual reports, the public will receive them more quickly, and the state will save resources. And the Department of Law has identified 5 proposed changes to the bill. These changes don't detract from, and in fact, they further the sponsor's goals. And if you prefer, I can limit my comments to the First Amendment or run through all 5 proposed changes.
Let's do the First Amendment so we don't... the other members have not yet been offered.
Mr. Chairman, may I interject, please?
Yeah, Representative Johansson.
Thank you. I believe Mr. Birnbaum, his 5 changes are included in Amendment Number 1. There are 5 parts of Amendment Number 1.
Did you hear that, Mr. Birnbaum?
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Grunberg.
I'm going to have some questions about some of these provisions, and if we could discuss them separately, then that will ease my questions.
That sounds good. So we'll get the first part, address that, and so on and so on.
We call these 1A, et cetera.
Okay. Continue, let us know when you want to discuss this.
I would like to, let's call the one on page 1, line 12, 1A.
Okay. Do you want to comment on that at this moment, or wait?
I'd like to hear what Mr. Birnbaum has to say. Some of them I don't have questions. A couple of them I do.
Okay. Mr. Birnbaum, please continue.
Mr. Chair, with respect to the 1A changes, these are exceptions. None of these exceptions detract from the purposes of the bill to provide annual reports to the public more quickly and to save the state resources. The exception for AS 14.56.120 recognizes that annual reports should continue to be treated the same as other state publications. And under AS 14.56.120, state agencies are required to provide 4 copies of their state publications to the State Library Distribution and Data Access Center, and the center may request additional copies. State publications include state agencies' annual reports. The exceptions for agreements and federal laws ensure that where an agreement or a federal law requires a print copy, such as a pre-electronic era agreement or federal law that has not been updated, a conflict between the bill and the agreement or the federal law is avoided. And again, these exceptions don't detract from the purposes of the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Okay.
And
Good. Let me get a comment from you first, Representative Johansson and then Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think amendment now labeled 1A is just fine. It's something I didn't think about. If the federal government catches up to our progressive approach to these reports, then so be it. But at this point, we should lead the way, and I support Amendment 1A.
Okay. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
A little louder, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the first time I've really had a chance to look at this comprehensive amendment. We had talked, Representative Johansson and Mr. Reed and myself had talked about the bill, but the thing that I'm concerned about, it kind of gets to what Representative Seaton talked about, that for like the revenue report, that is not in here, and it seems to be prohibited. The agency may not produce the reports unless they're specifically requested. And what this is going, the way this new Amendment 1A will do is require, it seems to me, and Mr. Birnbaum can correct me if I'm wrong, and I would ask him to do so if it's okay. The chair, he's nodding, okay. That in other, if there's anything else, like, let's say, the revenue report, we're going to have a list. It's going to be a list of inclusion. So we'll have to have a sub D for the revenue report or whatever. And I'm not sure that that's the most efficient way of drafting that phrase. I know the bill will go to another committee after this, but I think that it may not be the, it may be more cumbersome than another way of drafting that phrase.
Comment from Reverend Johansson or Mr. Birnbaum? Reverend Johansson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, two things. One is, no matter how the attorneys construct the language, as long as the end result is what I'm after, I really don't care. You can have 10 attorneys write it 10 different ways. It's really not an issue to me. The other part to talk about whether or not a revenue report could be printed or could not be printed unless some person asked for it, and I would imagine a person, commissioner, would be included as a person. The commissioner could say, I need to have this report printed. He's a person. He can request it. It doesn't exclude the commissioner from saying we need to report this. Or the division director requesting the department. The department is the commissioner, and that's the head of the department. So what I'm getting at is, I guess maybe it needs to be written differently, but my read is commissioner is a person. At least every commissioner I've met is a person.
Reverend Grunberg?
That's one thing, and I guess I'm going to ask Mr. Birnbaum to respond to that. And also, if you could look at his memo, January 18, third line from the bottom, it says, the amendment would ensure that the Library Distribution Access Center continues to receive copies for the public to review. And this is the phrase, as required by statute, as well as to ensure no conflicts with federal law or agreements. But looking at the language of the amendment, it doesn't say, have a sub D that says, or as required by law. And there may be other state laws. When you talk about a statute, that is a term of art. And it means a state law. It's not a municipal ordinance. It's not a federal law, because we already have that in sub C. And I would think that we would at very least want to have a sub D or other state law. And if Mr. Birnbaum can comment on both.
Mr. Birnbaum,
comments.
Would you comment on that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I need to see the specific draft language. We just wouldn't want to undercut the purpose of the bill to eliminate agencies mass printing annual reports and incurring those substantial costs in doing so. So I don't know that language couldn't be drafted that would accommodate Representative Gruenberg's concerns. I do note that, as Representative Johansson pointed out, under 44.99.370, persons would be able to request print copies of the annual report from the Data Access Center.
Okay. Reverend Johansson?
Thank you.
And then Representative Wilson.
Thank you. Two things. Under 1A, under the amendment, AS 1456120 is the library. That's where the reports will be sent to. So, first of all, we send them all to the library. They've got a copy of it. And number two, and most importantly, by exempting all the state statutes from this, from basically putting sub D in, it eviscerates the entire bill, and it completely makes it moot. So I don't.
Mr. Chair, that was not my intent at all.
Okay. Continue, Representative Johansson.
No, that's fine. That was my.
Thank you, Representative Wilson.
I agree with that, because right now.
You agree with which?
With not. I would not put in something that says by state law, because right now by state law they have to print them all, and so if we say except by state law, well then the state law says that.
Are you happy with that, Representative Grunberg?
Mr. Chair, do we have anybody from Ledge Legal around here? Yes, not. Okay, I would say that maybe we should deal with this a little bit conceptually, because maybe one thing we can do is to have a separate section in the bill that directs the reviser to go through, and in the reviser's bill to eliminate from these others, and it could be done over time, the requirements under state law that would conflict with this. Because this is going to potentially, as Representative Wilson said, it may conflict with the wording of various state laws. And I think that we can give, and I've seen this before, specific instructions to the reviser to eliminate those, and then they could just put those in the reviser's bill, or maybe even do it without doing that. And I'm thinking maybe that would be a way of dealing with this so there's no conflict.
Representative Johansson.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's probably a good idea. And this bill has a long way to go. We have the Finance Committee, the floor, the other side, State Affairs Committee most likely in Finance, and the floor, and then concurrence. So I would agree to that. I'd like to move the bill along today, though, and tell you that I'd certainly look to try and integrate that into the bill at a later date.
I'd prefer to do the same, because we do have a short session and a couple of interesting things on our calendar.
Yes.
That would satisfy me.
Okay.
If the sponsor could simply carry those concerns.
Okay. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think that this is good, and this would be the appropriate place to put in Section D that was what Representative Johansson had said before, and basically saying, or specifically approved by the commissioner of the department. And that would give the flexibility for the commissioner to take ownership and responsibility for specific approval of something that was of high value for distribution, would get to, I think, exactly what you were wanting, is have, if the commissioner is going to distribute something, he's going to have to approve that distribution. And it seems to me, and I just ask Representative Johansson if he'd concur to putting in a subsection D, which would say, or specifically approved by the commissioner of a department.
Representative Johansson.
Mr. Chairman, if you make that into a formal motion, amendment to the amendment 1A, I would accept that.
You would want?
I would support that.
Okay. Representative Seaton, would you like to make an amendment to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would. Is this the appropriate time?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to propose an amendment to Amendment 1A, and that's a conceptual amendment to insert after AS 4499.370 on line 11, or specifically approved by the commissioner of a department.
Okay. Any objection? Without objection, amendment to the amendment passes. Reverend Johansson?
I just asked.
Okay, Mr. Birnbaum, you'd like to proceed?
Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
At that point, I'll remove my objection to 1A.
Okay. Thank you. Representative, excuse me. I just promoted or demoted, I don't know which. Mr. Birnbaum.
Mr. Chairman.
1A is adopted.
1A is adopted,
Mr.
Yes.
Chairman. I'd move Amendment 1B.
Okay. 1B has been moved by Representative Johansson. Any objection for discussion? Okay. 1B is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Any other amendment, Representative?
I'll move Amendment 1C.
Representative Johansson moves Amendment 1C. Any objection?
Mr. Chairman.
An objection?
You just for discussion, yes.
Yes.
This is a technical thing. I believe, and the bill drafters, and I'm looking at Mr. Reed here, that I think in law may mean in state law, but I'm not sure. I don't know technically whether this is necessary. And I just point that out when you give us the
comment. Okay, Mr. Birnbaum, any comment on that?
Thank you, through the chair. Just to point out that when we reviewed it here in the Department of Law, we thought it was ambiguous as to whether what in law meant. So that's why we just wanted to add the specificity that it's in state law.
Okay.
And I also just wanted to note again to underscore in our discussion about the bill and the amendments that all of these reports that are subject to the bill are going to be available on the agency's internet website. So it's just a question of anybody, or if there is anybody, everybody having access to the internet who can just print a copy.
Okay, and for the record, Amendment 1C, at page 1, line 14, following obligation in, insert state.
I'll remove my objection.
Okay, objection has been removed. That passes. Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll move Amendment 1D, page 2, lines 1 through 5.
Go ahead.
I will object for the purpose of discussion.
And for our record, page 2, lines 1 to 5, it says, delete all material and insert section 44.99.370, print copy request. A person may obtain a print copy of the annual report from the State Library Distribution and Data Access Center under AS14.56.170. Representative Johansson.
Thank you. And Mr. Birnbaum can explain, but I believe this just ties back into Amendment 1.
Mr. Birnbaum, do you concur?
Yes, thank you. This change is intended to simplify the statute, as Representative Johansson pointed out earlier, to identify the central state agency from which persons can request a print copy of any state agency's annual report. With the change, anyone without access to the internet will still be able easily to obtain a print copy of an annual report. And this is so because under AS14.56.170, the State Library Distribution and Data Access Center is required to provide print copies of state publications upon request. And there is no reason to treat annual reports differently from any other non-protected state publications of the State Library Distribution and Data Access Center. And nor is there a reason to treat annual reports that an agency posts on its internet website differently from any other public records that an agency posts on its internet website.
Okay, thank you. Do you remove your objection?
I do.
The objection has been removed.
Mr. Chairman.
Do we need to comment before we read? Yes. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the deleted section, it's saying that may waive a fee. So am I assuming that requests from the State Library do not contain a fee for the distribution of those public records or those hard copies of, in this case, it would be the annual reports?
Mr. Birnbaum, I think that's directed to you.
To the chair, for AAC 57.910, the State Library's regulations cover requests for State Library services, and there is typically a fee for print copies. It's 10 cents per page for self-service, and it's also 10 cents per page plus $20 per hour for photocopying by division personnel if it's not through self-service, and that's under 4AAC 57.910A4. In addition, under that same regulation, but subsection C, the director of the Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums can waive fees if the director determines that doing so is in the public interest.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm, you know, fully supportive of the context of the bill. The problem that I am starting to have is that we are shifting production costs from agencies to the general public. In other words, what I'm understanding is if somebody wants to get a copy, they're going to have to pay for it, $20 per hour and copy costs. And so we are shifting that burden to individuals, which is okay because they're going to use that.
Yeah, user fee, you mean?
Yes. And the problem is that some of these materials, such as we just got the one from the Marine Highway, it's real nice on the internet to put these color copies in, and yet most people have access to black and white printers, and you can't print these reports from a black and white printer and understand them. We have these graphs that have all these lines on them, various shades of gray, you know, various colors. As soon as you print them out, they're all black and white, and you can't understand the graph. So I'm afraid that unless we have something that requires the agencies to, and I think we talked about this before, in addition to their color stuff, have stipples or hatch marks or something that makes that accessible to black and white printers, what we're going to be doing is increasing the number of people, including ourselves, if we don't have access to a color printer, that are not going to be able to really understand the reports if people can just do it. I mean, we've got another one here. This is from Health and Social Services. We just got that pie chart. If somebody takes from their home, wants to understand it or wants to get it copied, black and white, you won't be able to understand that copy at all because all these colors are going to be almost the same. And so I don't know if that's part of the bill or if that's, you know, there just has to be an agreement through somehow with the state library or somebody that says that these reports that are going to be produced have to be reproducible by black and white printers in an understandable manner, if there's some way that we can do that. I'm fully supportive of the bill, but I want to make sure that what we don't do is just say, okay, now we're going to increase everybody's costs because you don't get an understandable copy out of a black and white printer. And so that's my question here, and also getting from the state library, they're going to be in the same thing because they're going to be in that $20 and photocopy cost because, or they're going to have to use color printers to produce these reports for the public.
I'd point out, we do have somebody from the Division of Libraries, but first let me go down the line, and then we'll ask the person from the library maybe if they have any comment. Representative Johansson?
Mr. Chairman, first of all, just to make note, we have no amendment in front of us, so this is...
Again, please?
We have no amendment in front of us, so we've moved into a little bit of committee discussion, which is fine, but a couple things. First of all, Mr. Chairman, when you grew up and went to elementary school, I'm going to gather that there weren't a lot of color handouts when you were a child. Just a guess.
When I grew up, we had...
Used bar graphs, right? I mean, most everything that was distributed back in those days was in black and white. And I understand what Representative Seaton is saying, but I can't imagine that... First of all, that the library or any state agency would not be able to make it in a format that would be acceptable under a black and white printer. Now, those are a lot of colorful pie charts. You could simply switch to a bar graph and hash mark or black, white, put dots in it, put wiggles in it, flowers. You could do all kinds of different things with technology nowadays, and I think that they can handle that. The other point is, I think, from what I've been told, the majority of these reports that are sent out to you, to me, to companies, to corporations, to nonprofits. Most of these reports that go out to pretty sophisticated organizations, and I know there are a lot of individuals who request reports, just people who are not, who don't have color printers, they, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I think I have the faith in the people who would send these reports out that they can find a way to make it usable. I think the public would demand that they do that. So I understand what you're saying, but I think that the library and the departments can find a way to present that information that is not going to be challenged without a color printer. I don't think a color printer should stop us from moving into the 21st century.
Okay, Reverend Keller.
I'll pass on. Thank you.
Okay. Reverend Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we're not actually changing whether a member of the public and go to a library and get a copy, they are currently able to do that, and they currently will be paying 10 cents a page or $20 an hour for people to copy these for them. So I don't really think we're changing that in this bill, are we?
I don't think that. Is Linda Thibodeau in the audience? You're probably amazed at what you're hearing here. Please introduce yourself and give us any comments you'd like on this discussion or anything else.
Thank you. My name is Linda Thibodeau. I'm the director of the Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums. And thanks for the opportunity to comment on this. I agree with what Representative Peterson has said. This is basically not changing. This bill does not change how the library currently accepts documents, distributes documents. We are required to receive 4 copies by statute. We request 8 in many cases because there are 8 depository libraries around the state where we send copies of these documents. So these documents will not only be available at the state library, but they're also available at the University of Alaska Fairbanks in 2 locations, University of Alaska Anchorage in 2 locations, the Anchorage Public Library, and they go to the Library of Congress. So we distribute them a little more widely than just holding them ourselves. So that's a comfort in having access available. These documents can be gotten from us by print copy, like we've been discussing, or we also can distribute them electronically because we save the electronic copies as well when they're published. So if a patron were to request something and we were able to provide it to them electronically because they were, say, in a town, I don't know, say they were in Seward and their Seward library didn't have a copy, we could send it down there electronically and they could get it and print it in whatever way they wanted to print it. Or we could send them a paper copy. Black and white is affordable for us to copy and print, and we generally do those things in most cases without cost. If it's a huge job, then we do have to go into some of cost recovery of the $20 an hour and the 10 cents a page. Copying color is very expensive, and quite frankly, we don't even have a color copier available on site right now that we use for very many things. We do have color scanning, however, so we can put that out. The idea that that things would be reproducible in black and white and still be sensible is really attractive to us. We can't take those documents that are in color and turn them into black and white and revise them in any way. That's not our purview as the library. We have to take the documents that we have and turn them around and out to patrons without change. So we couldn't do that.
Very good. Any quick questions here? Thank you very much.
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Representative Grunberg.
Ms. Thibodeau, I'm concerned about what Representative Seaton has said. It was something I hadn't considered in the bill. And we're talking about a state that's very large physically and very far away from most of your libraries. And if I lived in Emonic or I lived in Wales or one of the other places.
St. Paul. St. George.
We get the drift. It would be very difficult for me to get an important report. And if we're going to do what Representative Johansson has said, that's going to take quite a while for these agencies to change the format of their reporting. And we need to have a delayed effective date on this to allow procedures to be developed. Otherwise, we're going to have large people around the state who can't get these reports. What do you think?
How many do you think that might be?
Large people.
Well, you and me. What do you think?
Through the chair to Representative Gruenberg, I really don't have a good answer to that. I'm not sure who are out there. The state library has a program for delivery of library materials to locations that don't have libraries. And I'm thinking some of these places, perhaps, or some of the places that you're concerned about. So if a person in Emonic, for example, needed a report and didn't have a library that could request a report for them, which we have a program that covers. So libraries in, all around the state can, through interlibrary loan, request these reports for their patrons. If they happen to live in a community that doesn't have a public library, then we have a program called Regional Services where we deliver through the Juneau Public Library or the Fairbanks Public Library services to those locations for patrons who request material, library material, to be sent to them. So we can get that material out to whoever wants it through one of those two distribution systems.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Johansson.
Thank you. And I do want to just put on the record that one of the groups that contacted me immediately was the library in Ketchikan. And Judith McQuarrie, who just actually retired after many years, brought those issues up about the color printing. So I do want to reinforce the point that Representative Seaton made and that you made about the distribution. She said, you know, we can get that stuff, we can distribute it, but it's the printing part, the color. And I think that in the public interest, if this bill were to pass, I think in the public interest, the departments would create those documents in a way that could be distributed through the library, because as she testified, they can't take it, turn it from a pie chart into a, that's not their job. But in the public interest, I don't think there's any issue distributing this stuff around the state. But I think the departments will be able to present that material that would be acceptable for distribution through the existing network that has been testified is already very, very strong and able.
Okay. Representative Wilson, and then I'd like to move along if we can. Representative Wilson, did you have something also? But I do want to put, we do have another bill to hear.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I agree with the bill sponsor. I don't think it'll take any time at all. We don't have to have a delayed timeline because everybody will know right away, and right away they will start making those bar graphs. And if you note, when there's bar graphs, it's always in order of how the bars are, the titles that go with them. And I don't think that will be anything that will be difficult at all.
Basically, a non-problem. Representative Seaton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my concern is that agencies are not as responsive to our thoughts as we would like them to be. I mean, pie charts, if you look at any of their, that's what they're using. And all we have to do is make it so that the requirement is that their production is discernible in black and white. They could go with numbers, and they could number each one of these and have them on there. They could use hatch marks. They could do something. But if we don't require it, if we pass this and say, oh, just publish your annual report, and by the way, you don't have to do it in there, it'll go, and the library is going to be stuck, and all of us, I mean, most of us do not have color printers in our office. So if we get a report that we want to look at, you got to either shovel it someplace else or do something, some way to make that understandable, or you have to print it in a more expensive manner. So I'm not objecting at all. I'm just saying that we should have the requirement in the bill, since we're talking about copying costs and availability to the public, availability, trying to lower costs, is just have the requirement that the departments publish their reports in a way that can be discerned in black and white copies. And like I say, it's really easy. All they are going to have to do is know that they have to put numbers on the lines if it's a graph with five lines on it and they're not discernible. So anyway, I would like to ask the sponsor if in the total aspect of going forward and trying to reduce costs, not only the agencies but the people that are going to use these, that we can incorporate something that says to the agencies that their annual reports or their reports must be discernible in black and white copies.
Representative Johansson.
Mr. Chairman, I understand where Representative Seaton is going. I guess I have more faith in what the departments are going to do. I mean, the moment that a document goes out that a bunch of people get emailed from the the library and they can't read it, understand it, they're going to call the library. And the library is going to say, you need to call the Department of Natural Resources. And pretty soon, I mean, the people are the ones that are going to say, I can't read this. And I think the departments will adjust. So I know what he's saying. I just simply disagree.
Good. Any comment from you?
No, thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Smart woman.
Mr. Chairman.
President Johanna.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify, because we got off track a little bit, that Amendment 1D was objected to by Representative Gruenberg, and then he removed his objection. Is that correct?
I removed my objection to 1D.
Correct.
But just for the record, I associate myself with the comments of Representative Seaton, and I think that everybody, assuming everybody is acting in good faith, it's going to take a little while.
We can assume that, I think.
Yeah. I think it's going to take a little while for people, for these agencies who are all around the state, to change their way of reporting. And we need to deal with that in a practical
way. Well, I agree with that. And Reverend Johansson, you can maybe look at this some more. Okay, so 1D has been adopted. Motion for, I guess it would be 1E?
Mr. Chairman, I move Amendment 1E.
No objection.
Objection for discussion? Representative Gruenberg?
No objection.
No objection. Okay.
No.
1E passes. Okay.
All that does is change the word sections to AS, which is the correct thing to do.
Okay, fine. Reverend Johansson.
Mr. Chairman, this actually, I'll move Amendment number 2, and I'll object for discussion.
Okay, Representative Johansson.
Oh, wait. Mr. Chair, I'm assuming with all objections removed, those First Amendments have passed. Could I, I'd like to back up. I do not want to object, but Amendment 1B,
what,
as long
B
as,
or D?
B, bravo.
Okay.
As long as we have Mr. Birnbaum on, I just would like a description of exactly what happened there. I think I understand it, but I would like to hear your explanation. There was no objection. And I do not object. I think I understand it, but I would appreciate your explanation. That's down on page 1, line 13, where we deleted notwithstanding conflicting provisions of law and inserted except as provided in A of this section.
Mr. Birnbaum?
Thank you, sir. To the chair.
We can't hear you, sir. Or at least
sorry,
I can't.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. To the chair. That's really just a clarifying change to so that the provision reads more consistently, and by referring back to subsection A, which contains the requirement of the exceptions. It's not meant to be a substantive change. It's just meant to simplify and clarify the bill.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll follow up. Just the reason for my question is just that I have a hard time understanding. To me, it does change it, and I think it's a change that was needed. And so I'll have to look at that a little more close. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, are there any further amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I believe I moved Amendment number 2 and objected myself, and then would just like to address it very briefly. This is an amendment that Representative Gruenberg brought to my office. We talked about it in the hallway yesterday. Basically, he was interested in striking the short title. He doesn't like short titles. I like short titles. And it's a battle of who likes and doesn't like short titles. I want to keep it. He wants to get rid of it. So I'll remove my objection.
Thank you.
Okay. So Amendment number 2 has been adopted. The battle of the short versus long. Okay. We have conceptual amendment number 3. Is that yours?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I would move conceptual amendment number 3.
Any objection? Okay.
Just a comment.
A comment from the...
That would also include a change to the amendment we adopted, 1D. I just want to make sure it's on the record. That includes the word annual.
Okay.
Thank you. So conceptual amendment number 3 has been adopted. Representative Johansson?
I'll move conceptual amendment number 4 and object for a slight discussion.
Objecting to your own
yes.
Own amendment?
Yes, sir.
Schizophrenia in operation.
Okay. Any discussion on that?
Well, this was when Reed and I went back and reread the minutes and the notes from the last time this was in committee. Representative Gruenberg actually brought up adding the Permanent Fund Corporation, AHFC, to the end of the bill, including them specifically It's on page 2, following line 9. We have, under definition of a state agency, department, institution, board, commission, et cetera, we included the university, the railroad. Representative Gruenberg wanted to add the Permanent Fund Corporation, AHFC, and if anybody thinks of any other ones as this bill makes it through the course of the legislature, I'd be happy to add those too. But I don't have any objection. I'll remove my objection to my own amendment.
Any further comment? Do you move your objection?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So a conceptual amendment of number 4 has been adopted, and we're now to the bill itself. Would you like to make a final comment on this, and then we'll see if we can move the bill?
I would, Mr. Chairman, just for the comfort level of the committee. I understand made a commitment to Representative Gruenberg to look at a reviser bill language to add, which I think is a good thing to do, because it's going to take a lot of time to find those clauses in the statute to repeal those, and I think the lawyers across the way would appreciate that. And I don't want to downplay the comments made by Representative Seaton. I think they have validity. So I would like to work on seeing if there are ways to improve what your concern is. But at this point, I'd like to move the bill out of committee, and I would commit to the representative and to the chairman that I'll continue to have an open mind to try and find a solution to your issue.
Very good. Representative Gruenberg, and then
I'll go after.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that, Representative. And I guess what I, just looking at the bill, I had no intention of trying to hold this bill up, but it seems like on line 11 on page 1, it says, you know, if you can do your annual report on the agency's website in a manner accessible to the public. And if we just define accessible to the public as including understandable copy printed in black and white, that gives the instructions to all the agencies that they are supposed to do this, instead of leaving it up to someone in every IT department to do their glossy work without that. So I would hope, as we go forward, if not here, that we just define accessible to the public, meaning that it can be understandable copy in black and white printing, and that would take care of my concern. And I think it would expedite, instead of having the public have to go back and fight with every agency to try to get their IT department to change something, all the departments would know. So if that would be something that you would conceptually agree with, I think that we could solve it here instead of at another committee.
Representative Johansson?
Well, I'd like to move it out today, and I've given my word that I'll work on it. And if
he wants to,
yeah, and I know that if a solution isn't found by the time it hits the floor, that Representative Seaton will be armed and dangerous with an amendment on the floor.
Okay, Representative Gruenberg.
Well, no, I was wondering if they had finished on. Mm-hmm. So that's, you're not offering anything.
No.
Okay. I don't know, and mine's kind of the same thing, and it would be kind of a conceptual amendment. There is a phrase that the alleged legal can do this. It's put at the end of a bill, and it's instruction to reviser to conform other existing laws to this bill. And it's a conceptual thing, but they do it, and I was wondering if you'd accept something like that, or you want to wait. But that's what I would envision.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johansson.
Thank you. I'm not familiar with that. I'd rather spend some time to look at it and be open to that. And also, as you articulated and the chairman backed you up, he's certainly willing to look at an extended effective date to give the departments time to adjust. But I think that's something we can work on as it moves through the system as well. I don't have an objection to that.
With that, I'm not going to offer it.
Very good. Representative Keller.
Yeah. what I intend to do is make a motion here to move the bill, but before I do, I want to point out something I think has been missing from this discussion, and that is that I believe, and you can speak for yourself, but I believe you want to enhance the reporting, not minimize the reporting. And I really identify with what happens. You know, we get a stack, like you said, 3 feet high of reports. And the problem that I have as a legislator is accessing the reports I need when I need them. And electronically, we can fix that problem. So what I would like to just ask the sponsor to do, please, is to look at adding a requirement amendment down the road here so that the URL for the report gets put in a place that is comprehensive, has all the reports listed, and it can easily accessible. What comes to mind for me is BASIS. If I could go to BASIS and look up Health and Social Services and find the annual report, that would be very, very valuable to me. There are some of those reports that are absolutely essential to what we do, and I'm sure we all agree with that. And I do not want the agencies to, slack off on the reporting that is required. Those requirements for reports are very, very important. So if you would, I see you nodding, and that's good enough. So with that, I would move HB 182, version 27LS0573, Mike, out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
As amended.
As amended, yeah.
Thank Mr. You. Chairman, can I object for just a quick second?
Yes.
I don't want to hold my own bill up, but I want to, and we talked about this, it just slipped my mind to mention that, so thank you, but I'm wondering if the library has that sort of link or the ability for people to go to that single repository and link off of their information networks, and maybe we could have the...
Please identify yourself again.
Yes, for the record, I'm Linda Thibodeau, Director of the Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums. Through the chair to Representative Keller, the library catalog does a really beautiful job of that kind of accessing. You can go to the library catalog and look up annual reports by agency, and they're listed by year. I hope that that's what you mean.
Representative Keller?
That's great, but I think it ought to also be included in BASIS, where, many times we do a lot of research for bills and that kind of thing, but, maybe a link to the library catalog then would be plenty. That might be just all we need. Mm-hmm. So, thanks.
Great. Very good. Representative Johansson.
Just again, as a quick note, BASIS is our creature. I mean, if we want to put something on BASIS, we just do it. So I think we can do that. And I'll remove my objection to moving my own bill.
I believe there's a motion on the floor to move the bill. Any objection? If not, congratulations. HB 182 has passed from this committee. I don't know. This may have been the first bill to move out of a committee in the second session. I'm not sure, but we hope to make history around here. So thank you very much for bringing the bill forward. Please do the paperwork here. We can take a short at ease as we sign the paperwork. The next bill, please come back to order. Our next bill we are going to hear and hope to pass out of the committee is HB 216, sponsored by Representative Peggy Wilson. And just as in the previous bill, will you please review the bill, bring it up to date on it, since it's been a while since we heard it previously. And then if you have any amendments, we'll discuss those. Okay. You can move and we'll discuss those.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Peggy Wilson, a representative for House District 2. And House Bill 216 will ensure regulations are completed in a timely manner and will provide easily understood descriptions of all created or proposed changes in regulations. This bill was introduced at the end of last session, but we didn't have a fiscal note and not much time to deal with questions, so I will begin from the beginning.
Okay, and again, there was a fiscal note. What is the fiscal note?
It's undetermined.
Undeterminable. Okay.
House Bill 216 deals with two frustrations with the process of creating or changing state regulations. And one thing that came up that just really bothered me a lot was that state agencies don't always get the regulations done in a timely manner. And a big, for instance, on this was last year when we were working with House Bill 110, that we were trying to find the differences and what the tax ramifications were going to be and whatnot. And it was very difficult because the when we did ACEs, they hadn't done all the regulations yet. And so it was very difficult to compare apples and apples because of that. And so that was very frustrating at the time for us legislators to try to really figure out what was going on and what the facts actually were. So
you mean that if by some miracle I get a bill passed and it goes through the legislature and it requires regulation, which most do.
And this
years. It just could take years.
Yes. And so.
And so then in effect, legislation would have no meaningful effect.
Well, they, you know, and it's very difficult for the people that have to, in this case, producers, for them to have to pay the tax when the regulations weren't written yet.
Yeah, and so what they could do.
Yes. So anyway, and then not only that, but generally when regulations are put in place, the public and even us legislators do make comments on them. And what happens is that it's very difficult when it comes out because it has the statute number in, you know, AS 24.72.102 or something like that. But you go to that, but you still don't know what about that statute is going to be changed. You still don't know. And so it leaves us very much in the dark when we get an announcement saying that regulation is going to change. So we don't have any ahead of the time information to kind of mull over in our minds. So this confusion is caused because of the legalese that is used. And what this bill would do would put it in plain English so that we understand, and just have a little summary, that in this instance, we're going to change the regulation. Instead of having a two-day report due in 2 days, we're going to change it to 4 days, or something simple like that, so that we know and the public knows so that we can make comments or think about it. So in order to respond to those two frustrations, and I'm sure we all experience it, because we get these reports, you know, these little announcements in the mail or else on the email, and we don't know what's going on. So number one, in the bill, it requires that the legislature set a deadline to have the regulations completed and ready to implement. And that would be different, you know, when we have the bill in front of us, depending on how complex the bill is. So, you know, we would just say, you know, we'd like this done in a year's time or whatever. Or maybe this bill is simple. We'd like those regulations done in 6 months, you know. So this just would have the regulations completed and ready to implement, helping people to plan related activities or their forms that they have to make or whatever, making it clear when to expect a new regulation to be in effect. And number two, it will require that agencies provide descriptive summaries of the proposed changes written in English to accompany these notifications. This will help legislators and the public better to understand the regulations. And that summary doesn't have to be lengthy. Just depends on the complexity of the regulation, and it will not be legal binding. In other words, we don't want to have some member of the public saying, "Well, that wasn't entirely clear to me, and so I'm going to sue you," or something like that. So I'm going to have an amendment that takes care of that. In the Attorney General's office came and talked to me about this. And so we have some amendments to deal with some of this. We now have a fiscal note. It is an indeterminate fiscal note, so it's very clear that there are no answers to what the costs to the state are going to be because of this. Although at this point we don't know the bottom cost line, I still think that it's worth looking into to make the changes to this process that we currently use and can't figure out, and so that it's in use. And when it comes out that we know what is going to be adopted or amended or repealed, just to make it more user-friendly. So the Attorney General's office did offer two suggestions, and one was that boards and commissions may need to be exempted from this strict time limit, as they often meet sometimes only twice a year or once a year. So I think we need to deal with that. Also, the cost to some agency may be considerable when inserting long summaries, because they have to, the state requires that they have to put this in a newspaper. And so if that is required, they have to pay for that by the word, by how many words are in it. And so we need to deal with that a little bit, so that what they put in the newspaper, maybe, you know, we want to keep them as short as we can for that very reason, because it could be costly because of that. The AG's office recommended language that would protect agencies from being sued if they were published summaries were deemed inadequate by some citizen. So, and the committee members have looked at the bill and had some questions and suggestions that come up, and because of that, I'd like the committee to consider some amendments that I think would take care of their concerns. So,
okay, is there any comment or question on the basic concept of the bill before we get to the amendments? If not, would you move any amendments you'd like to move?
Okay, I'll hand out the amendments first, and I think there's enough so that we can have some in the audience. Amendment number one.
He wants a copy of it.
I move amendment number one, and that requires the
object for discussion.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. And this just is makes it very clear. It deletes in on page 2, lines 4 and 5, it deletes include a summary of the existing regulations as well as a summary of the change proposed or amendment or regulation or repeal. And it was suggested that we, and this was by from the Attorney General's office, that we change this a little bit just so that we don't have to put that big part in the paper. And so it's to insert these words, also describe how the amendment or repeal will change the existing regulation. So it can be very concise, very short, and to the point.
Any questions on that amendment?
Yeah, I'd like to have a minute to read this, Mr. Chair.
Start the clock.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's fine.
Okay.
I remove my objection.
Okay. Objection removed. Amendment, we'll call this amendment number one.
And
amendment number one has been adopted.
I move amendment number two.
Amendment number two. Make sure he gets it out there. Did you already move amendment number two?
Yes.
Object.
Object for discussion by Representative Keller.
And
please describe the amendment.
What this does on page 2, line 7, it, following the word understand, to clarify it a little more, and I believe that Representative Seaton was concerned about this one, insert the following: without following internet links to the Alaska Administrative Code. In other words, so that people can understand it without having to go to the code and look that up. Because even when you do that, you still don't understand it because you don't know what the change is going to be. So that just kind of clarifies what we're talking about in the bill.
You any questions or comments on this amendment? If not, will you remove your...
Remove my objection.
Objection removed. Amendment number two has passed. We're doing good. Any further amendments?
Okay, conceptual amendment number three. And it's conceptual because it's, I don't know for sure where to put it, so that's why it's conceptual. But boards and commissions may need to be exempted from a strict limit time, as may often they often meet infrequently. And there was a question whether we should say small boards and commissions, but then you had to go into defining what small was. And so I think if we just exempt boards and commissions.
Okay. Any comment on that, Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess maybe I'm unclear. I thought that this was each bill as it went through would define the time limit, that we're not setting it's 90 days or it's 180 days. So if you had a bill that was dealing with the Board of Hairdressers and they meet twice a year, the bill sponsor and the comments during the public would be that the time frame has to be 270 or has to be a year or something because of that. So I'm not sure what the effect of saying we're going to exempt people from the requirement to meet a time frame when those time frames are going to be set according to each individual bill, which would address those items. So it's just a question of clarification. I'm trying to, on the fly here, think of the example. I guess.
And that was just a request by, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was just requested by the Attorney General. So that's why I put it in. But I see your point. So I guess it's up to the committee.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess unless we have some clarification of a circumstance in which, unless the legislature is going to be unreasonable and say these are all regulations have to be done in 30 days.
The legislature is never unreasonable.
That's what I mean. So I don't think that that's going to be the circumstance. So the only other kind of issue that I can think of where we would want to do this, if we had a bill that said everybody has to update regulations and we put a time frame in there, then you'd have a discrepancy. But we've never done that that I know of. So I guess I would object to the exemption, because I think that what we will do is then not set time frames for boards and commissions, which is the exact opposite of what you're trying to do. You're trying to get regulations to implement a law with a time frame. And I think that the legislature will make the consideration for whatever bill they're passing is what's a reasonable time frame. So
I need to amend my previous comment, and I said the legislature never unreasonable, except when they don't vote for one of my bills. Okay, I'll go to Remy Grunberg, but first I want to do note that we have a couple of folks from the Department of Law available who maybe address this. Representative
Mr.
Grunberg.
Chair, Representative Wilson, three of us are on the Judiciary Committee, and with the respect for both of you to move the bill along, I would suggest that we deal with that particular issue between now and Judiciary, and if the sponsor is willing and the representative from Homer are willing to decide what to do on this, we can take that up in Judiciary. Because
okay.
I don't have an answer, but I think we're going to need to talk to the AG about that. Is that agreeable?
That okay, you, Representative Seaton?
That would be fine. However, if we do have the AG or Department of Law on board, maybe they could tell us, and
okay,
my concern would disappear.
We have Steve Weaver, I guess, at Department of Law. Are you on the phone, sir, or here?
I'm here.
Okay. The Department of Law shall speaketh.
For the record, Mr. Chair, thank you for having me here. My name is Steve Weaver. I'm an Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Law. I work with the Regulations Attorney, Deborah Baer, in her office. Very briefly, the thought behind the board and commission exemption was to address situations where certain boards that meet infrequently, specifically occupational licensing boards, might find themselves without sufficient time to adopt regulations in the time frame that the legislature requested in the bill. Beyond that, the Department of Law does not really have a position on the bill. The time Representative Seaton's point is something that the committee would want to consider. It's and we are open to working with Representative Wilson on whatever direction the committee would like to go in.
Well, maybe you could be available when we get to Judiciary Committee. As somebody stated here, three of us on this committee also serve on the Judiciary Committee. Yes, 1, 2, 3. Any questions?
Yeah.
Representative Keller.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. You, when a bill is in process right now, you certainly consider things like how long it should take to get regulations done. So it, would it take you extra resources to advise a sponsor of a bill that they probably don't want to request the regulations here tomorrow, you know, when it's a using the examples? It seems like we've already got that covered. I mean, that you're watching the bills as they go through, thinking about what it'll take for the regulation. Seems like an unnecessary amendment to me, too. But that's
through the chair, I would not speak to necessity or unnecessary. This is a policy call for this committee to make. It is out there as an option, and it's the legislature obviously can go into in a different direction on this. It's simply one means of addressing a particular issue relating with boards and commissions that might meet infrequently, or that might, particularly in the case of occupational licensing boards, their members may have other occupations and they may not be able to meet within the time frame. But of course, if this is a matter that can be addressed through the bill process, that would be a call for this committee and for the Judiciary Committee that they could make. And we, again, are willing to work with the bill sponsor and anyone else to hash out details get a product that works for everybody.
Very good. Keller first, and then Wilson.
Just a quick follow-up. Maybe I wasn't clear. You do that now, right, is what my question was. In other words, is this going to require more? If we do not include the suggested amendment, would this be a burden to the Department of Law? Because it is certainly now, right, this is considered as the laws are written, you know, how long the regulations will take, so... I just want, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I was under the impression that that was part of the regular process that happens over there in the halls of the Department of Law, that they consider that when bills are in the process.
Through the chair, perhaps I, if I could, in some cases it might, you know, not be a difficult process at all for the you know, Department of Law and the line agencies and of course this body to easily ascertain the amount of time it might take to adopt regulations. Sometimes it may perhaps vary. The example that comes immediately to my mind would be, and this is not a board or commission, this would be the Division of Insurance. They oftentimes work off of a national organization, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and the National Insurance Association of Insurance Commissioners in turn turn out model regulations. If the national organization is behind the clock, so to speak, that might affect the ability of the Division of Insurance to stick to the clock. Now, how that would be, you know, how that would play when at the point where the bill is being prepared, that's a question I could not really speak to. It would be a policy call for the legislature. It would be something that the assistant attorneys general working with the division might be able to make a call on, and the division itself may have a sense and would be able to keep the committee and the legislature well informed on this. And it's a similar case with, I would imagine, occupational licensing boards. If it's a straightforward bill for small changes, it's probably not a difficult matter. If it is, for example, a comprehensive bill such as what passed a number of years ago with respect to the Board of Public Accountancy, that may involve more interaction between the legislature, between the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, and the Department of Law to come with a realistic time frame.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Yeah. I withdraw the amendment. We will work with it, and we will work and see what we can come up with by the time we get to judiciary.
Sounds good. Yes.
Thank you, first of all. Secondly, I would appreciate it. There are two different things. This is at the core of the first issue here, which is really Section 1. I think these are standalone kinds of issues. But number one, the word must on line 7. I think it would be helpful at least for this legislator.
Line 7 of the bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Page 1, line 7, the word must, as opposed to something else, whether that's going to cause the administration, I'm talking about the classified service, not just the way the government works, whether that's going to cause a problem if each time we pass a bill, they have to figure how long it's going to take them to do regs, how that's going to work. I would like to know how that's actually going to work. And we can deal with this in judiciary. I'm not suggesting we hold the bill up. And secondly, one place I think that we might consider, and I'm looking only at Section 1 now, there are some statutes in the area of the code that deal with the legislature, that deal with fiscal notes. And those fiscal notes, they are not just how much money it's going to cost to implement the bill, but they talk a lot of times about how the bill will be implemented by the agency. The question is, in my mind, whether we should have a conforming amendment to the fiscal note statute that would require the agency, when they submit their fiscal note, to recommend how much time they're going to need to do the reg. I think that would help provide the evidentiary basis and the record for the legislature when it will routinely put the time limit in, because then, in most cases, I would assume that the legislative history would say, we gave the agency 3 months to do this in accord with what it requested in the fiscal note.
I think that's a good idea. Representative Peterson, and then we need...
I'm not just like...
We have another amendment after this coming. Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering, it says there we're going to be directing the agencies to adopt regulations in a specific time. So are we going to be, in every single piece of legislation that we passed, are we going to be having to put a specific date in there to set a deadline for the agency or for the Department of Law, whichever it is that makes the regulations, to have those regulations completed? So, many bills right now, you may put an effective date clause in the thing, so we're going to have a regulation deadline date in all bills.
Effective date for the regulation.
Is that what this will...
Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really like better the idea of having it in the fiscal note, and then that way we can always see what the fiscal note said, and that can be their deadline. That way, it's not law, but it's an expectation.
Follow up, and then we have to move along because the clock is running out here.
I understand. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, my question is actually to you, sir. Are all regulations changes to regulations, are they done by your department, or are they done by the agencies, or are they done in consultation between the two?
Through the chair. Thank you. All regulations originate with the agencies.
Okay. But then they're run through you guys.
But,
through
yeah. Right. Through the chair.
Off, Max. Mm-hmm. Okay. Reverend Wilson?
I move conceptual member number four.
Okay. Without objection, conceptual amendment number four is passed. We have another one?
No. This is it.
She withdrew number three.
I withdrew number three.
Okay. For explanation.
So.
And this just covers the other and if.
So yeah. This is a
new
one.
Yeah,
yes. And what's the amendment number on this?
Conceptual amendment number four.
Number four, okay.
And what this, it's a conceptual amendment because I don't know where to put it in the bill. The AG's office, they had a concern about the cost of to some agencies because of inserting long summaries with the media. And they recommended language that will protect agencies from being sued if their published summaries are deemed inadequate by some citizen. So what the amendment says is, quote, an action may not be brought for failure of the notice to comply with requirements of this paragraph relating to the description in or the clarity of at the readability of the summary. Now, would you like me to read that again?
Yeah, one more time.
An action may not be brought for failure of the notice to comply with requirements of this paragraph.
It's too fast for me to write.
Okay. An action may not be brought for failure of the notice to comply with requirements of this paragraph.
Failure of the notice to.
And it is conceptual.
With comply with what?
With this paragraph, or with this bill, or whatever it's going to be, relating to the description in or the clarity and readability of the summary. Because we're asking them to put a short summary of it.
Disclaimer.
It's kind of like a disclaimer to so that some citizen can't sue because they didn't quite understand fully what we were going to do.
Representative Grunberg.
With respect to the clarity or readability of what?
Of the summary.
Of the summary. Okay, I'm going to object.
We already have objection for discussion.
Yeah.
If I may. This gets to a series of cases that were generally relating to AG summaries of initiatives. In some cases, the courts have struck those down as inaccurate. And this would provide a blanket immunity in all of those cases. I would ask that that issue not be taken up on the fly. That's more properly a judiciary issue. And I would ask respect the courtesy of withdrawing the amendment with the understanding that something will be prepared so we can really look at it and think about it and deal with it in judiciary. Through the chair, would the sponsor be willing to do that?
I would definitely be willing to do that, so I'll withdraw the amendment.
Great. Thank you. Very good. Thank you. Would you speak to the bill in total, and maybe we can move this. Reverend Wilson?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I was wondering, does
she's
that...
She's withdrawn it.
No, I understand. But this goes to your last question, Mr. Chair. Are you planning to offer any other amendments?
No.
Okay, I had some concern, a conceptual concern, that we discussed, and I hadn't prepared anything in your office. And that was, and I'm not going to, since I don't want to do this on the fly.
And also we're running out of time.
Right, yes. And it was on page 2, the stuff on lines 3 to 7, it talks about if the proposed agency action is to amend or repeal an existing regulation. I was concerned because a lot of times regs are not in response to an existing regulation, but they're in response to newly enacted legislation. And I will look at this. I'm not going to offer this today on the fly. But I think we may need a technical amendment to include regs that are adopted in response to legislation as well as just changing regulations.
Wait a minute, Wilson, and then Keller.
I believe it was with our First Amendment, we changed that, but the word if is still in there, and so that's if. So it's not in totality.
I think we should include the other possibility in there. And I'll work with you on that.
Okay, Representative Keller.
In light of the fact that three of us are going to see this in judiciary if the rest of the committee is content, I would like to move the bill. HB 216.
Representative Mr. Chairman.
I'd just like to talk about the bill for a moment.
Yeah.
And that is that one of the largest problems that we have as legislators receiving the email notices of bills is that they don't contain direction as to what is going to be changed. If it's going to be, you know, it says, it gives a AAC citation and we make these changes. And so I'm concerned that the bill does not clearly direct that the initial notification or email notification identifies the change and that the bill, all of these clear language could be included in some further linkage. So I guess what I want to see as this goes forward for the greatest help for the public and us to adequately address proposed regulations is that the notice that comes out, the subject notice comes out, doesn't have all the citations in it, but actually has, we're changing wolf hunting on the Kenai Peninsula, or we're changing salmon fishing in southeastern Alaska, or, you know, something that rather than, or Title 29, you know, we're talking about something in municipalities, but we have no idea what it is. And so I would just like that as the bill sponsor goes forward with this, that there be a section in there addressing the notification, the email notification that comes out, not the subsequent, you know, wordage is buried under a link or two. So anyway, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope that we would.
Very good. Is that acceptable to you?
Yes.
Okay. Acceptable, Representative Wilson. Representative Keller.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Seaton. I wanted to make a comment too that this is a very good bill. I was chair of the Reg Review Committee, and it was very frustrating. The time it took to get to the bottom. So I'm very supportive of the bill. I have talked to the sponsor, and I want to continue to work to strengthen. Also, I just want to point out that the one of the feeds, they have an RSS feed when there's a change in regulation now, so that a group, say commercial fishermen could, pick that up and be notified on their computer. The various agencies have been doing a better and better job at, portraying what their regulation changes are. But I think we really need to get on the stick and pay attention to this very crucial issue. So when I want to move the bill, it's with the desire to improve it as it goes along and in full support. So I'd like to move, if I could, Mr. Chair, HB 216, 27, pardon?
As amended.
Yeah, 27 LS0701, Bravo, as amended here in committee with the accompanying fiscal note.
Okay. Without objection? HB 216 is moved from committee. We'll be doing the paperwork. I'd like to thank the committee for a very good first committee meeting of this session. We're going to have you heard all the bills, various bills read across the floor yesterday. We're going to have quite a few bills coming before this committee. Some of them are going to be substantial bills. And thank you. I think maybe we set another record. I think we got two bills out on the first committee hearing. And I don't know. It may be we may have the first two bills of the session. Who knows? Again, thank you very much. Thank you for the folks who came to testify. both
yes, sir.
In person and on the phone, and for the audience for being here. And we are adjourned at, I guess, 9:55. Thank you.